just remember that there was all this hysteria following Pearl Harbor. And rather than the hysteria subsiding, it seemed to get whipped up worse and worse. It wasn't until much later that I thought back and I said, my God, I allowed that to happen to me? And this isn't going to happen again.
Japs evacuate vital West Coast areas for the national security. At Los Angeles, 36,000 Japs see the handwriting on the wall and sell out their goods before their voluntary departure.
By birth, by family, by schooling, they were American citizens. By allegiance, by love, by trust in their government, they were American citizens. But right after the shock of Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, their government decided it could not return that trust because they looked like the enemy.
What this means for the Japs, nobody knows. What it means to us, everybody knows.
In fear of an invasion, in fear of sabotage and espionage, the government ordered the entire Japanese-American community removed from the West Coast area where they lived. 110,000 people were rounded up. Most of them were citizens of the United States. German Americans and Italian Americans were not involved, only Japanese Americans. Without trial, they were found guilty by reason of race. They were shipped to 10 detention camps around the country.
Barbed wire around the camps, as
That's
I
right.
understand your testimony.
Yes, sir.
There were military police around the camp, is that correct? There were troops, or what, how would you describe?
Military police.
How many would you say around camp?
I don't know.
Were they armed?
Yes.
Now, after 2 years of study and hearings, a federal commission has recommended that the United States offer an apology to Japanese Americans for the grave injustice done to them 40 years ago. The commission has proposed also that $20,000 compensation be paid to each of the Japanese Americans detained in the camps. 60,000 of them are alive today. The total cost would be $1.5 billion.
Two front war, attacked in the Pacific and the Atlantic. And we were faced with a very dire catastrophe. Here the whole Pacific fleet was at the bottom of Pearl Harbor. What was the next place going to be? They got away unscathed.
John McCloy has served in top government posts under several presidents. He was Assistant Secretary of War when President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the order for the relocation and detention of the Japanese Americans.
It was perfectly clear that there was the danger of sabotage from those isolated, militarily sensitive areas on the West Coast. And our first line of defense was destroyed.
McCloy believes that the government's decision was free of any taint of racism, and that compensation for Japanese Americans would be utterly unconscionable and unfair.
Whose judgment do you take? With the man who was responsible at the time, or in light of 2020 hindsight, 40 years after the event.
All right, so that what you're saying is the judgment at the time was the right judgment.
Of course it was the right judgment,
right, but
yeah.
It is.
I say it was also the right judgment today.
Everyone, or almost everyone, now agrees that the relocation was unnecessary. Scholars have been saying this since the 1940s. I think it's now generally perceived among educated persons that this was a mistake.
Well, what do you do about it?
Historian Roger Daniels is a consultant to the federal commission that investigated the detention of Japanese Americans.
These people were deprived of large chunks of their lives. They were deprived of their liberty. They were deprived of their property without even the slightest trace of due process of law. And to say that one should not apologize is simply obscene.
now 750,000 Japanese Americans in the United States. They are more comfortable now with the links they have forged between their ancestral Japanese culture and their lives in America. But those who came through the time of detention have been trying for 40 years to come to terms with what happened to them. And they remember still the atmosphere of prejudice.
Where I grew up in Santa Ana, we weren't allowed into the swimming pool except on the day before the water was changed. And there was an anti-miscegenation law that didn't allow you to marry anyone outside your race. Certainly
Noriko Bridges was sent to a detention camp in Arizona. She was an American citizen born in the United States.
My parents were certain that since they were enemy aliens, that they were going to be done away with, and that I, being their child, would also be executed. And we'd have these huge arguments. I was saying, I'm an American. And she would say, or they would say, but Americans aren't locked up. You're not an American. I said, oh, yes, I am.
I think, you know, in the way that the barbed wire fences and guard towers became a symbol to us of our detention, that became a symbol, a psychological symbol for me, for many years after the camp experience.
John Tataishi was sent to a detention camp in California.
Yes.
He was an American citizen, born in the United States.
And in fact, we were not the enemy. You know, I was a three-year-old kid. I was guilty of nothing in this country other than my ancestry, and yet I was put in a prison essentially for 3 years.
I think the first shock that I had was that when we were put into the camps, this friend of mine and I walked all around the camp because we could not believe that this was a prison.
Florence Hungo was sent to a detention camp in Colorado. She was an American citizen, born in the United States. She remembers her father's agony.
He became ill very soon after in the camps and became tubercular and became completely disabled, and he was never able to work after that time. So it had a, I think it had a tremendous emotional impact on him as this, as a provider for the family.
They certainly were not extermination camps. More people were born in them than died in them. They were largely run by New Deal bureaucrats who, for good Japanese, wanted to give them adequate diets. There were schools. There was community life. There was a semblance of family life. Certainly, one should not think that these were places of torture.
Roger Daniels is a professor of history at the University of Cincinnati.
There were a number who committed suicide. These were in godforsaken places where no one has ever lived before and no one has lived since. Certainly for thousands of Japanese Americans, this was an absolutely devastating experience.
For Wayne Osaki, it was devastating when he was sent to a detention camp. He was so angry that he renounced his citizenship. Later, he was reconciled and is now a citizen again.
In fact, I used to keep a diary during the time that I was in camp. But when I left, I just buried it, and I just wanted to forget the whole thing and just sort of start completely new. But of course, that really is not possible. Yeah.
And now he wants his son, Paul, to understand what happened.
Probably the first emotional reaction I had later on was one of anger, of toward my parents in the sense that why didn't they resist, why didn't they fight back? But the more I find out and the more I understand, I have a lot of respect and the prouder it makes me feel of how my father was able to, how he dealt with the experience of camp and all that.
As you know, during the last session of Congress,
now the United States Congress is considering the Commission recommendations for a national apology to the Japanese Americans and for financial compensation to those who were in the camps. During World War II, many thousands of Japanese Americans served with the military forces. They suffered heavy casualties, and they were honored with an extraordinary number of decorations. During World War II, no single act of sabotage or espionage was proved against anyone in the Japanese American community in the continental United States. By allegiance, by love, by trust in their government, they were American citizens.
I'd rather be here in the United States than anywhere else in the world. But I also now understand and realize that that a society like ours can dysfunction very easily. And people need to be told all the time about how, you know, how things can go wrong as well as how things can go right.
I think until it's corrected and until the United States can admit it was wrong, it could happen to anybody, and that's one of my greatest fears.
I think it's important that history reflect what happened in our country so that we will be vigilant and not allow this kind of thing to happen again.